Well, we have a shepherd that can lead us beside the still waters and also through the storm. Amen. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of John this morning. John chapter 6, one of the longer chapters in the Gospels, 71 verses in this sixth chapter. I'm going to take the theme for the message out of the scripture here we'll read. Speak to you on the subject, will ye also go away? Will ye also go away or go back? You know, some of the big disappointments in life sometimes is folks we thought we could depend on and we find out we can't. We don't like the word dropout too much. Traitor is even a worse word. People you thought you could depend on. When I was a kid, we didn't have a TV. The radio worked, we could get the Lone Ranger on it. Anybody ever listen to the Lone Ranger? Oh, yeah. I enjoyed later on after I got to see some reruns on TV because that's just what I had pictured in my mind when I was listening to that radio. Lone Ranger and his faithful companion, Indian companion, Tonto. There was a few Lone Ranger jokes that went around when we was kids. One of them was that the Lone Ranger and Tonto were pinned down by the Indians. They were encircled. And the Lone Ranger said to Tonto, "Tonto, what are we going to do?" Tonto said, "What do you mean, white man? What are we going to do?" Now, we joke about things like that, but that's kind of what we have here in the text this morning. Thing about dropouts, modernize the joke a little bit. Kid away at college texted his mom. He said, "Mom, I'm dropping out of college. Prepare Pop." She texts back, "Pop prepared. Prepare yourself." And we'll understand some of that a little bit. John chapter 6, verse 57, I got to jump into it. Kind of in the midst of it says, "And as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." Pretty strange sound, "he that eateth me." "This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." "These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?' When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, 'Doth this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." Y'all excuse me trying to clear my throat. It's not the corona. If it is, I've had it since I was 4 years old, this seasonal time of year, when the trees are putting out, like you know. "But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, 'Therefore, I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father.' From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, 'Will ye also go away?' Then Simon Peter answered and said, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God.' Jesus answered them, 'Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?' He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now, if you kind of get the setting here, the crowd's been following Jesus. So to speak, it's been good times. And we might say, well, the sun was shining. Everything was going fine. The loaves and fishes had not run out. And so he had a big crowd following him. And yet when things got a little bad, they began to kind of desert him. Even his disciples began to fall back. We've seen the same thing in the Old Testament. Do you remember how that Moses led the children out in the wilderness? Led them out of Egypt, out of bondage. But it wasn't long before what? They were murmuring about it, right? Oh, we want to get back to the leeks and onions of Egypt. But the times were good. Everything was fine. But then it got a little tough. And they started murmuring. You know, there's a predicted falling away, according to the scripture, coming. 2 Thessalonians 2. Says there'll be a great falling away period. Most of us believe that's an apostatizing. We believe that's the coldest. We believe that's a backsliding time, backsliding time in the last days of the church age. Some say we're going to have revival. I hope so. Maybe we can have revival, but there's a falling away coming. And the falling away is very obvious today. Very obvious. But here in the text, the Lord had given them a hard saying. And then he asked them, does this offend you? You know, the Bible tells us that we that love God's law, that nothing offends us. But I want to tell you, that's a small tribe. There's a lot bigger tribe that everything offends. Every little thing seems to offend. But even here, some of the disciples, like today, and maybe like some of you, were embarrassed for their friends. I won't ask you to raise your hand because it might be too many of you. But I'm sure you've heard, you go down to Landmark, where Pastor Carter is, you're still open. You've heard that one, haven't you? Yeah. I hope it don't offend you. It offended some of the disciples here when the Lord said, you know, you're going to have to eat me. They didn't understand that. They didn't understand the spiritual talk, and they were embarrassed. His words in verse 63, he said, the words I speak to you are spirit. They're spirit. You got to understand them spiritually. And then in verse 64, he pointed out the real problem. The real problem was unbelief. That's still the real problem today. Oh, we can come to church. We can sing the hymns. We can hear the preaching. And oh, yes, everything is fine. But when the test comes, where's our belief at? Where is our faith? How much our unbelief seems to rise to the front? To the surface. Now, I believe we're in parallel times today of much of what we read in Scripture. I believe things are fulfilling fast. I don't know when Jesus is coming. I believe ever since I've been in the ministry, he was coming soon. I'll tell you one thing, I'm closer to it today than I ever was. And I'll tell you this, I'm seeing more to make me think he's coming soon than I've ever seen before. But as I look through this text here just a little bit and think about it a little bit, I see so much that parallels our day. I look around here and I see that religion is not Christianity. Christianity is a religion. But religion and even church is popular much of the time. One fellow said, preacher was trying to get him to come to church. And he said, well, I went. I was there. They christened me when I was a baby. And he said, I went again when I got married. And the pastor said, oh, I get it. He says, it's going to be three times in your life that you go. Once when you were hatched, next time when you were matched, but you also come in when you're dispatched. Yeah. That's about what church is to a lot of folks. That's about it. It's popular that way. Oh, when I need it, I'm glad it's there. But that's been true in America through the years. Too many folks falling for the loaves and fishes. And a lot of hypocrisy, though, is revealed when the storm comes. Not when the sun's shining, but when times get tough. When the challenge and the test is out there, who will stand true when the storm is there? I think about the little boy sitting around the front row at a funeral. And a good Christian man in the church had lost his wife and a child or two in an accident. Awful thing. In the prime of life, and there they were having the funeral. And at the end of the funeral, the husband, the father, stepped down to the head of the casket. And as people were coming, viewing, He spoke words of faith to them. The little boy sat inside of his dad, looked at his dad and said this, "He really does believe, don't he?" I want to tell you something. When the storm's coming, that's when your belief is proved. That's when it's real or it's not real. It's when it shows up for what it really is. Amen. Little boy was right. He was right. I'm afraid the test sometimes reveals the opposite. But you know, when we're genuine, I mean, too much hypocrisy is revealed today. But when we're genuine, we do what we say and say what we do. There's not a difference between them. I look around today and the virus shutdown and see all the rules and all the stuff they put on us. And maybe some of it has been good, and I think it's been overkill in a lot of ways, no doubt about it. A lot of hypocrisy been revealed by it. I think about the New York mayor there that sent the police out to break up the Jewish funeral in the streets. Did you see that? At the same time, it showed him and his wife jogging through the park. A little hypocrisy there. The police went out because a couple of kids was playing in the yard, and another kid came in from the neighboring kid, and all three of them, so they were congregating too much in the yard. That's hypocrisy, first class junk, is exactly what that is. I hear about the fellow that got caught robbing the store. They charged him with robbery. They also charged him with breaking the violation, being away from home. Now we laugh about that. But that's the stupid stuff. Stupid stuff that's been going on. You know, don't touch your face. I saw Nancy Pelosi on just a minute or two's news the other night. I think she touched both of her faces before it was over with. Right? All right. Religion and church is popular sometimes, but when it really gets to the nitty-gritty, when the storm is raging, is it real? Is it real? Here's a crowd following Jesus. They liked the loaves and fishes. They liked everything. And all of a sudden, he said something to offend them. Now they depart. Now the question is, and he asked the question, "Will ye also go away?" That's a pertinent question. I look at the text again and I see that Jesus saw something deeper. He saw the spiritual warfare that was below the surface. We look around here and we see the number of the verse. I'll show you something. This is first Mickey, second verse. But I notice even in the number of the verse, I know what people say about the numbers of the verses in the King James Bible. Well, some man added them and God was alive when he done it. And when I look around and see all the coincidences, they're more than coincidence. For instance, here we have apostasy. We have a crowd leaving Jesus. And when I look in the verses in this long chapter, and I look in verse 66, it says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." This is the sixth chapter of John, the 66th verse, 666, apostasy. Revelation 13. Then Jesus asked, "Will ye also go away?" Apostasy, hidden, seems in the text. And by the way, Judas himself, the one here that's pointed out, there's 13 letters in his name. Kind of interesting the way the numbers shake out, folks, when you really get behind the surface. Jesus was behind the surface here a little bit. Jesus knew the devil was involved. See it in verse 70? See what he says here? Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil?" See, Judas never was saved and lost it. He was a devil from the beginning, the scripture says. The Bible says he went to his own place. You see, the devil had an agenda here. And he caused some to leave. And the devil's agenda is still very real today. Very, very real today. He's got a goal for America today. Destroy America, the nation that sent the missionaries and got the gospel around the world. And he's done a big thing. If you're going to destroy America, you'd have to destroy our economy because we're feeding half the world today. And so the devil had an agenda against America. And by the way, he's doing a good job of destroying us today if we don't wake up. But Jesus saw the devil here. He knew who Judas was. He wasn't a fool by Judas. And as I look at the devil's agenda today and I see his attack on America, his attack's on the churches. You know, in most crises, Americans ran to the church. World War II, they ran to the church. Pearl Harbor, 1941, they ran to the churches. 9/11, our days. I remember when the planes flew into the towers on Tuesday morning. We normally have church on Wednesday night. I happened to be out of town, and on the way back town, the radio station called me, and they said, we get all kind of calls at the radio station if we're going to have church tonight. I said, we don't have church on Tuesday night. Everybody's calling wanting us to. So I got here, and we did, and even had somebody saved. But you know why? People were running to God. They wanted some answers. They were scared. I see just the opposite happening today. Now they're blaming the churches. Now they're running, as it were, from God. Folks, that's not a good commentary. That's a scary thing to me. It really is. We see the attack. We see a bunch of governors of our states going nuts. The one in Michigan, maybe one in North Carolina, blaming the churches, arresting people, putting preachers in jail. My, what do we flipped the coin. We've gone to the wrong side. We jumped the fence. Something is really wrong. I thank God for our governor in Florida. With all the pressure that's been put on him, he stood pretty good. And I'm very, very thankful for that. But I want to say this, that we're seeing a real attack. And don't kid yourself, they're not going to be satisfied when it's over. Some of the ground they've gained, the controls they've gained, they're not going to give up very easy. Not going to give it up very easy at all. They're going to continue. I've heard things like, things are going to continue to change. Can't do church like we used to. I don't know where you're living, but it'll be pretty much routine around here, I'll tell you that. But we got a whole bunch of that stuff going on right now. And the question is, who is going to stay true and who will go away? It's going to be a shock to some of you that's members of this church. We'll lose a few. We will lose a few. We might even gain a few. Who knows? But at the same time, what's right is right. And that's where we're going to stand. Amen? And I know they're not want to give up the ground. They want to keep the controls that they've got. And the question is, who will go back? Who will stay true? You know, truth is, we're seeing a lot of changes today. I've said it over and over. It's all about control. And I believe it's the shadow of the Antichrist kingdom and all the businesses he's going to be able to bring in with it. Even I said in Sunday school this morning, he'll come in on a socialistic program, probably voted in. And I had a brother, Brother Bill, came up to me there between Sunday school and church. And he was telling me about somebody, kinfolk, I believe in Canada. I'm scared to say this. He said they're getting a check every month for $3,500 without working. I thought about moving up there. I believe that's the board I'm getting. And I'm still trying to work. Now, I'm funning around a little bit, but he's telling the truth. We got the young Spanish lady, I said it in Sunday school, Cortez, that's telling folks don't go back to work. I saw him interviewing a fellow on the street. They said, you want a job? He said, no, I want a check. Well, I want to tell you, we can write you a piece of paper, but sooner or later, it'll become worthless. The whole thing is that we're seeing a trend, a movement come in. And what we might not have voted in at the voting booth may come in over the crisis thing, the control that they're looking for. I hear these words, it's going to forever change things. Well, it depends on whether we let it or not, or where we stand for what is right. And so the question is, who will go back or who will stay true? Now look, Peter got it right here. Peter said, Lord, to whom would we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. In other words, he had his priorities right. He knew where the most important thing was. Folks, do you understand this life is not important compared to where your soul spends eternity? Yeah, we want to stay here as long as we can. I'm going to be honest with you. When I get to a certain point, I don't want to stay any longer. And many of you know what I'm talking about. I visited too many hospitals and too many nursing homes and seen too many folks hurting too bad. I even feel guilty sometimes as a pastor when I go in and somebody is suffering like crazy and I'm praying for them to stay in that suffering. I don't pray that way too much. I pray God's will for them. And there's a time I'd be thankful to God to let me out of the suffering and take me home with him. But everybody's scared of dying. I quote old John R. Rice again. I did the other day. He said, "You can't scare me with heaven." Amen. Is heaven your home? Do you know Jesus? Has he paid for your sins? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Then what are you so afraid of? Oh, he don't want us to jump off the water tower. He don't want us to presume on him. But at the same time, can't we trust him with our health if we can trust him with our soul? The soul is most important. Yes, it is. Jesus saw spiritual warfare here. He saw what the devil was doing. Peter, though, looked a little deeper too. And he said, "Lord, where else would we go?" And I ask you today, where are people going if they don't go to the Lord? You can listen to the doctor's report and it may change day by day, week by week. You can hear on the TV, coffee is good for you. And then you can hear on the TV, it's to kill you. I don't know which one's right. I'm still drinking it, but I don't know which one's right. It'll change. If you want a good laugh, go get you some textbooks. Many of them that I was taught in school, and they're a joke now. Now, if you went a little further back, you can go back and really hear some funny stuff. There was a time that they said if you would get rattlesnake oil and rub it on your head, it'd grow hair. That was the latest science. Yeah. Or if you'd get some eels and grind them up and make you a mixture of it and drink it, it would cure alcoholism. I expect it would. Amen. That was the latest science. Now, we laugh about that stuff, but some of the stuff today is proven just about as funny. And will be in time. See, this book don't have to be rewritten, but the science book has to be rewritten all the time. So you better be careful which one you follow. Amen. Now, I look here, and the Lord heard Peter say it. Peter got it right. To whom shall we go? And I ask you today, to whom shall we go? I still believe God intended for the local assembly, the visible church, to exist until he comes back. That's how long? Until he comes and takes his bride home. I know I'm hearing, well, church is going to only be online. Now, I'm proud some folks can listen to us online. I'm proud of the technology for the sick and others to hear. And we'll probably keep doing that. We've been doing that a long time before this thing come along. But I want to tell you, if all we had was church online, pretty soon they will control the content that goes over the line. Now, if you were here Wednesday night, you saw the clip I showed. Brother Marcy put me on to it. They tried to show that same clip on Fox News, and YouTube took it off in the midst of it. See, if it goes online, somebody's controlling you. When I was over in Russia years back in the 90s, talking with the underground church and all, they have a state church in Russia. They had a state church down in Moscow. And when the Billy Graham campaign came, they allowed him to come in the church, and Billy preached the gospel. But I want to tell you, there's more to preaching than the gospel. Right. It's contending for the faith and the freedom that comes from the faith. Right. And those underground preachers told us while we were over there, Billy was scammed. He was fooled. He thought there was freedom, but we knew there was no freedom. So we went in the back of the church, and we had a sign prepared, and we tried to hold it up. Brother Graham, they're lying to you. We're not free. And they got arrested for trying. But you see, that state church, their sermons were approved by the state. They could say certain things and certain things they couldn't. We have freedom of speech in America still. It's under attack, but we still have it. And any of you have been hearing me preach for years, you know I've been practicing it for a long time. I intend to keep on practicing it. But I'm saying to you, if they say, well, I want church online, just go online, we can't have you too close together, then the next thing you know, they can cut off what they want and keep it from going online. That'll be the control that I'm talking to you about. What's most important? Peter got it right. Lord, you got the words of eternal life. You see, what we got going on today is we are mocking God's command to assemble. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Hebrews 10:25. And then we've picked up a word during this thing. It's called essential or non-essential. Some businesses are essential. I found out that barbershops are not essential. I finally got somebody to cut my hair this week. I think it's what you call bootlegging or underground or whatever. And I'm thankful for it. I was getting desperate. But I'm saying to you, who's going to decide what's essential and what's non-essential? All of a sudden, in the eyes of many of the bureaucracy of today, in the controllers, church is no longer essential. And in this virus scare and shutdown, they have almost proven that they declare it's not essential. Not essential. I believe it is in God's view. It's the only thing he started. It's the only thing he died for, the scripture tells us. Satan's agenda is to close the church because Satan wants to cost you your soul if you listen to him. Now, I know people can be saved under the oak tree. A soul winner can win souls at the door. Somebody can read a tract and be saved. I understand that. I'm all for that. But still, the majority of folks are being saved in the house of God, where the gospel is being preached, where the Spirit of God is working through the music, through the singing, through the preaching, through the fellowship. Still more souls being saved there. That's God's plan. You're not going to improve on God's plan. And there, no wonder the devil's agenda is against it. Trying to shut it down. Stop it today. No doubt about it. That's going on. I believe these days previews what's coming, folks. I don't know when. I don't know how long. But we're seeing a preview of an attitude, anti-God attitude, that's going to get stronger and stronger as the Antichrist gets more power to set up his kingdom. Now, I'm looking for the upper taker. I'm looking for the rapture, and I know you are if you're saved. I don't know how close the Lord's long at us, how much of the taste we're going to get. I don't know. I trust all that to him. But I do know this. When I get the pickle, I'm going to run to God, not to government. I'm going to run to God. And I believe that's still the answer. I ask you this morning, will you go back or forward? Will you come to God or will you run from him? The question here in the text, will you also go back? Will you also leave? Will you turn when you get offended? Will you turn when the Lord says something that's too hard for you to understand? You just can't accept that. Well, maybe you don't understand what he said. This crowd didn't understand. He was standing there in the flesh. He wasn't telling them to take a bite of his arm. Common sense, he was talking about spiritual bread. Today I am, as a pastor, sometimes shocked what I say that gets twisted around to the opposite meaning. I've had that happen. Sure. The Lord had it happen to him. I shouldn't be surprised. Hey, by the way, when you're apologizing for your preacher, just remember the Lord offended some folks also. Yes, he did. I don't do it on purpose, but I'm going to stick with the book, and what the book says is God's word. And truth of the matter is, God has blessed that through the years. Now the question today is, will you come to him or go from him? I believe in every man's life, the Bible says the Spirit of God that bringeth salvation have appeared unto all men. I believe in every man's life at some point, sometime, God brings a witness across his path to give him a chance to say yes or no, run to him or run away from him. I believe that. I believe too many hesitate too long and let the opportunity pass sometime. I read a sad story many years ago. It's a testimony of a young Eskimo. He was trying to make the point of people coming to Christ, not hesitating, coming when they had the opportunity to come. This young Eskimo said when he was young, he and his dad went hunting, seal hunting or whatever it was, out on the ice. His dad was getting older, a little slower, but they hunted together many times. And he said they were out on the ice and had got out on the edge of it, the peninsula of it. Said all of a sudden they heard a cracking sound, almost like a gunshot. And that point of ice cracked and broke. And he said, I immediately jumped the crack back to the bigger area and hollered for Dad to do the same thing. And he said, Dad rushed up there to do it, but he hesitated. He hesitated. He said, the water moved, and in that short moment of hesitation, the gap went from something he could have stepped over to something too far to jump across. And sure death was to go into the icy waters. He said, I watched him float away. And I cried and I hollered and we said goodbye. I've never seen him again. He said he hesitated. His opportunity to be saved was gone. Wonder how many folks have sat in this building and hesitated. Now, where are they? Could it be you might be here today or on radio or watching, and you heard last week, but you hesitated. And you heard week before that, but you hesitated. Please don't wait till the gap is more than you can step across. When the Holy Spirit no longer speaks to your soul and calls you to be saved. Today, if you're not saved, right now is the time. With all the things that's going on, all the quick things that are happening, I mean, you ought to be warned. The gap's going to get wider. Opportunity's going to grow further away and maybe never come again. This morning, you could come and receive Christ. If you're here and you're saved, I challenge you, will you also go back or will you come forward to the Lord? I pray you will. If times get worse, I pray you'll stick. One day, folks, one day we're going to see it was worth it all, as the old song says. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, we recognize that many are listening at home. Building is not near what we saw before this thing happened. But we pray, Father, you'd be with us in the midst of this storm. We pray it would end soon. We pray for those that have been affected the worst by it. We pray, Father, that you'd help us as your people to hold up the real hope. Hope is more than a vaccine. Hope that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. To take care of the virus of sin. I pray, Father, you'd bless in the auditorium today as we sang a verse of invitation. Father, I remember when I stood and heard that verse and received Christ as Savior, and I pray for others today. Step over the gap before it widens. Not hesitate any longer and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We commit it to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. Will you come receive Christ? Will you come? Come on as we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
As we sing, will you come?
Let's bow our heads a moment. The invitation will be open for just a little while. While Christians around you are praying, is there a decision you ought to make for the Lord? Peter said, Lord, to who else would we go? Where else could we go? You have the words of eternal life. I say to you this morning, nowhere. Jesus is the way to go. One to come to, not reject, to draw close to. I'm sure there's a lot of probably ways to die worse than the flu bug. But I tell you what is worse than dying, period, and that's losing your soul. Scripture says it's appointed unto man once to die. But after this, the judgment. Jesus warned about fearing the ones that could just kill the body. Well, it was basically saying fear God who can kill both body and soul in hell. Part of America's troubles today, politically and otherwise, is priorities are all messed up. Values have been so scrambled. You and I don't have to go with that, though. We know what is important. Put it in first place. I said a while ago that the devil used this thing to cost souls. I think we've seen that right here in our own local church, that we've had a lot of our faithful folks show up, some that felt better about staying at home for health reasons or whatever, and that was okay. We gave them that option. But what has been very noticeable is a lot of lost folks have not come to church. And we haven't seen as many folks receiving Christ in these 5 or 6 weeks of this flu bug, this shutdown. So the devil's getting that victory. And I'd say to him, if anybody's listening, okay, I'm all right. I understand you're protecting yourself physically, but spiritually, I hope this thing hadn't cost some folks their soul. It very likely has. It actually very likely has. All right, we've changed some things. We've quit shaking hands around here, but we're going to start the buses next week. We're going to have Mother's Day next week. And we're going to get back to it. I know we'll get criticism over it, but we're just not going to surrender this God's ministry to the devil. Amen. If you're visiting with us today, I normally go to the door back there and shake hands, even when I've preached a sermon that you want to slap me over. I still have the guts to go to the door, but I'm dodging it because if you get a cold, I don't want you to say, I got it from shaking hands with that preacher down there at Landmark. Right? So turn around and salute each other and let's be dismissed.